information is free.
The law?
There is hope.
When ignorance is converted into knowledge,
we care. Here to border on shows.
The law?
The country.
Whether he went on with the diary, or whether he did not cooperate, made no difference. The thought police would get him just the same.
This is diabolical nonsense. There is no need for the dark impulse. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to episode 183 of Media Monarchy. It's August 20th, 2010. My name is James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show, MediaMonarchy.com, your source for alternative news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups. This week, powder kegs looking for sparks and putting the pieces together. Bombshell Barack, mosques and the company. Police state updates, the secret of Oz, the Hindenburg omen, and the ecstasy of empire. Plus a take on the world news purge with green surveys, JFK, John the Baptist, Bradbury, Kanye, Kathy, and other killer updates from the Greenbrier to Ground Zero. It's all here, August 20th. 2010, episode 183 of MediaMonarchy.com.
Well, hey, my writing, it's all the same. When it drips like posture, my head just hangs. And I hate myself, man, but who's to blame? I guess I'm just
take on the world. That is Waves with two V's from the record King of the Beach. And that's how we're going to take it. We're going to take on the world. We're going to start it off that way. That's the message. My name is James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show at MediaMonarchy.com, your source for alternative news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, wherever you may be in the world, listening live or re-listening into the future. new and old, welcome aboard. Your participation is appreciated and implored. We're sharing open source intelligence and alternative news and independent media to be better informed, to make better decisions. You don't have to pay attention to the news very closely to know that things aren't going so well, to put it quite glibly. But we're going to get into all of that, powder kegs and puzzle pieces. But we are, of course, broadcasting live, as always, every Friday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on the Portland Radio Authority, praradio.org, for nearly 4 years now. That anniversary will be coming up, I believe, this October. Of course, huge thanks to ZeroPointRadio.com. They carry Media Monarchy live for you worldwide on the web at ZeroPointRadio.com, as well as their AM and FM. 92.3 FM, 1670 AM in Casper, Wyoming. The worldwide home of free speech, RevereRadio.net. Blasting out 1 p.m. on the East Coast right now. And, of course, thanks to 98.5 FM in Olympia, Washington, FROlympia.org. 104.1 FM in Berkeley, California, BerkeleyLiberationRadio.net. OneSkyRadio.com, 90.7 FM in Kisilov, Alaska. 89.9 at Patriot Radio in La Mesa, Texas, one of our newest affiliates. Huge thanks to them. And, of course, Radio23.org makes available the high-quality downloads of all the episodes from Media Monarchy. These main live shows, the B-sides, the interviews, the mixtapes, everything spilling out from the Monarchy. Radio23.org gets you the high quality if you have your own internet community, low power pirate communications outlet. Grab the high quality if you want to rebroadcast them. They will sound the best. feeds.feedburner.com/Media Monarchy HD. That's where you can get them. facebook.com/Media Monarchy. And of course, MySpace, Twitter, YouTube, Ustream.tv/Media Monarchy. We are, of course, streaming and capturing live video as we speak on this episode 183. Blip.tv, CafePress.com/Media Monarchy. You can get an organic Made in America t-shirt with the Media Monarchy logo on it. Email me, MediaMonarchy@gmail.com. We're on Skype, Instant Messenger, and iTunes, and RadioForAll.net, and Archive.org. Just tools, really. If you've got tools, you got to have some ideas of what to do with those tools. And post-9/11, my awakening to alternative news and what was really going on in this corporate-controlled, phony, left-right paradigm, this Hegelian dialectic that we're stuck in, and then seeing it throughout the 2000s play back and forth in stolen and skull and bones and CFR elections, selections. And that's what makes me want to do this. I was a program director back east at WSHC doing college indie rock radio. I took those programming abilities that I picked up there and transferred it over and cover alternative media, alternative news, politics, conspiracies, cover-ups, so much more. And we jam-pack it all into an amazing weekly two-plus-hour episode or two or few. As things get crazy, we have to crank out more media. If we glance at Google News as we speak, manhunt ends with arrests of Arizona escapee and alleged accomplice. That's apparently the most important thing going on in the world right now. However, we have Haiti and Wyclef Jean await election candidates list, and we're going to have more on Wyclef a little bit later. And a return to the table is scheduled in Mideast talks. Also, want to remind you that we are in the chat room on ZeroPointRadio.com. And again, it's all about sharing information. Any other business we need to take care of before we really get into it here, my friends, as I glance at my notes? I think we're all up to date. And again, mediamonarchy@gmail.com. I thank all of you for your contact and for your news tips. Please donate. The donate button is there on the top. You help support alternative media, and the money only goes to help pay and keep all of this moving and growing. The domain names, the P.O. Box, that kind of stuff. So here we are, episode 183 of MediaMonarchy.com, and the way we're going to get into it is the story we kicked off the most recent episode of NewWorldNextWeek.com, a weekly video series with James Corbett of CorbettReport.com, and I call it Geopolitics and War Whores, Powder Kegs Looking for Sparks. This is an ugly data dump of information. Some blips of articles, others just headlines, and again, don't take my word for anything we say here. I lay it all out for you. You can do the research for yourself. I try and give a whole swath of takes from mainstream to independent media to flesh out stories to give it a fuller contextual and hopefully subtextual overlay. And just because I link to something doesn't mean I endorse it. You know. It's all fair use. It's open source intel. I'm a one-man band. I'm not making excuses, but... Geopolitics and War Whores, Powder Kegs Looking for Sparks. Let's start it off with a piece from ofgoatsandmen.blogspot.com, and we have other links to Newsmax, as well as the AtlanticWire.com and Consortium News, Drills, Bolton, Harvard, putting the pieces together. Of Goats and Men mentioned in a previous blog post about how John Bolton, the former ambassador, the former U.S. ambassador to the U.N., who of course said it could go missing a couple floors and wouldn't make a difference, an anti, seemingly, supposedly anti-U.N. ambassador to the U.N., John Bolton basically thinks an Iran attack must proceed within days, and now, as we speak, August 20th, it basically is supposedly a day, if it's to occur at all. Terror drills, military exercises going on in Korea. We have the North-South Korean situation. Harvard has apparently divested itself from Israeli investments, which one could speculate has to do with fear of war in the Middle East. Is it politics or business? Gold is on the rise, with a link to the Wall Street Journal. None of this definitely means war is coming, but it certainly means it very well could be. And we're going to get the take on this from Fox. It's unfortunate, again, in the phony left-right paradigm, how the outlets will switch and who covers what and who will actually investigate the other phony party. One's in favor, one's out of favor, one's asleep, the other's awake. And that's how we swing back and forth. But if you look at both wings, they're connected to the same crooked bird. And that's how they roll. So we've got a piece from Fox News with John Bolton. And just to give you the thumbnail intro on what we're talking about here, Russia is loading nuke fuel into Iran. And if they get it loaded, it'll be too late to blow it up, because then it'll be an environmental catastrophe. You got to blow it up before they get it in there. So, the question, and this has gotten a lot of chatter in the alternative media, but we always shy away from any kind of, it's going to happen, this is the date, it's on. But we like to put it on the record. And here it is, on the record. John Bolton says an attack has to happen by August 21st, tomorrow.
Iran is set to launch their first nuclear reactor next week with a lot of help from the Russians. The nuclear power plant at Bashir has been under construction for decades, but it's the Russians who are helping them to build it, and they're now prepared to load it up with uranium. And with the reprocessing of the uranium from spent fuel rods, the Iranians could have everything they need to make nuclear weapons. So why did the Russians give Iranians what they need to become a nuclear nation? Joining us now, former U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, John Bolton. Ambassador, great to see you. So what does this, first of all, tell you about our good friend, the Russians?
Well, you know, the Russians were under enormous pressure for years not even to ship the uranium to Bushehr by the Bush administration and Obama, and then by Obama not to allow the fuel rods to be inserted. And the fact that this is now happening, even after the Fourth Security Council sanctions resolution, demonstrates that the Russians are, as they often do, playing both sides against the middle. And they're giving something Iran that's incredibly important here.
Well, we have no influence with the Russians. I feel comfortable in saying that. I mean, there's just no influence. I mean, they'll do what they want to do. They don't care at all what we have to say or think about it, right?
Well, I think this is a clear demonstration of that. And what is going to happen here in the next month or so is these fuel rods are inserted and the reactor is brought up to full power, is that Iran will have achieved something that no other opponent of Israel, no other enemy of the United States really in the Middle East has, and that is a functioning nuclear reactor.
Well, I said they really don't care if Iran gets a bomb. Maybe they do. Maybe the Russians want Iran to have a bomb in some kind of strange game that they're playing, geopolitical game.
Well, I think it's very much to Russia's interest not to have Iran get nuclear weapons.
I think the way they think, I mean, they play hardball, and maybe from their perspective, you know, it would balance things out in a certain way.
Well, the idea of being able to stick a thumb in America's eye always figures prominently in Moscow. So the fact is that the sensible view that this is not in Russia's interest does not prevail in Moscow, and that's why they're allowing this to go ahead. There's a cynical view that Russia knows that at some point, maybe the United States, more likely Israel, isn't going to tolerate this going forward, and that they will use preemptive military force so that Russia wins on both sides. They sell this reactor to Iran, and then they get Israel to take it out. No downside to the Russians. They get to condemn Israel, but Iran doesn't get the bomb. That's a cynical view, but again, not unheard of.
Not unheard of, but that sounds, even for the Russians, that sounds like too many bank shots here. But the point is that Israel or whomever can't bomb these plants, this nuclear reactor, because it would send radiation flying in the air, it would affect thousands of people, Iranians. So in a way, they have almost checkmated us, the Iranians have. They now have a way of getting nuclear fuel that cannot be attacked because for humanitarian reasons it cannot be attacked. So they've got it, right?
Well, unless the Israelis move within the next 8 days, once those fuel rods are very close to the reactor, certainly once they're in the reactor, as you say, attacking it means a release of radiation, no question about it. So if Israel is going to do anything against Bushehr, it has to move in the next 8 days. If they don't, then as I say, something Saddam Hussein wanted but couldn't get, a functioning nuclear reactor because the Israelis bombed it in 1981, something that Bashar al-Assad in Syria wanted, a functioning nuclear reactor until the Israelis bombed it, couldn't get, the Iranians, sworn enemies of Israel, will have.
Boy, we've literally run out of time, but very quickly, within the next 8 days, do you think it's likely that within the next 8 days, Israel will strike?
I don't think so. I'm afraid that they've lost this opportunity.
Ambassador John Bolton, great to see you. Have a good weekend.
Oh, yeah, have a great weekend. We may be at World War III. You have a good time. So, of course, that was John Bolton on Fox News saying that a hit would have to happen before August 21st. That would now be tomorrow, as I speak to you now on the 20th of August on this episode 183 from MediaMonarchy.com. We're going through the Massive Post, geopolitics and war horrors, powder kegs looking for sparks, and all of these situations playing out in and around the world. Unfortunately, set the stage for some kind of catastrophic catalyzing event, some kind of false flag kickoff event to a wider war. Whether it's the sinking of the Maine, or even the Lusitania, or Pearl Harbor, or the Gulf of Tonkin, or the Reichstag fire, or 9/11, false flag events carried out in disguise to blame your real political opponents. It's happened all throughout history. And ultimately, I think that's what 9/11 Truth is about. It's ultimately anti-war. That, as we know from Sun Tzu, all war is based on deception. So let's continue down this ugly geopolitical grand chessboard, if you will. U.S.-Israel increasing military cooperation, holding joint exercises. That's from almanar.com. Israeli soldier defends her sexy F-book prisoner pics. This is from Danger Room. And we mentioned On the previous B-side episode about hate blogger Hal Turner, of course, being burned by the government he served, of course, being a paid FBI informant, a national security intelligence asset. Just like Rumsfeld told people to torture, then you got to burn some people to do it. Unfortunately, the one synonymous with the torture photographs, Lindy England, is from my home state of West Virginia. Israeli soldier defends her sexy F-book prisoner pics, posing and smiling with blindfolded Palestinian prisoners, and then posting the pics to Facebook. What's the big deal? An Israeli reserve officer asks. There's no violence or intention to humiliate anyone in the pictures. Eden Abergill tells Army Radio, I know I didn't do anything wrong. Nonetheless, the photos taken during Abergill's active duty and part of a gallery labeled IDF, the best time of my life. This has all drawn condemnation from Israeli and Palestinian officials alike. In a YouTube clip, IDF spokesman Captain Barak Raz calls Abergill's photos repulsive and shameful. Palestinian Authority spokesman Ghassan Khatib calls them an example of life under occupation. More on this story from Al Jazeera and IDF spokesperson and the BBC and Haaretz. Egypt seizes explosives on a ship coming from Israel. This is on english.people.com.cn. And again, I'm not on the, by any stretch. It's all the Jews. I don't really buy into the one unified field conspiracy theory. They're multi-generational serial killers, and sometimes they bump each other off and they battle for territory, but they don't do anything that's going to cause their... They're not going to overthrow the game board. But sometimes you got to whack somebody. So, one, I'm not going to say for a second that Israel and the Mossad and the IDF haven't had their hands and fingerprints on many of the more egregious false flag war whore activities of the last 70 years. But again, it's not, we're not here to constantly point fingers at the Jews and the illegal aliens. Again, these are all things used to divide and conquer. Divide and conquer happens on multiple levels, but again, we're also going to point out the information where we see it and when we try and put puzzle pieces together. However, from allgov.com, as we return to the North American Union with no shortage of war whore activity happening surrounding the embattled down in the polls Obamasiah. The real war against terrorists is not in Afghanistan, but it's in Pakistan, Yemen, and Somalia. While much of the public's attention continues to focus on Afghanistan, the U.S. has been quietly ramping up its attacks on al-Qaeda in Yemen, one of the many countries into which the war on terror has expanded under President Barack Obama, although he doesn't call it the war on terror. We change names, we change faces, the policy stays the same. According to the New York Times, the American military has carried out at least four covert strikes in Yemen since December. Some have had mixed results. An attack in late May killed not only a group of al-Qaeda operatives, but also a Yemeni deputy governor who was trying to talk to terrorists into quitting their fight. President Obama has also approved an expansion of CIA drone strikes in Pakistan, as well as raids against terrorists in Somalia. Because these are not officially military operations, there's some concern that if the Americans involved are captured, they will not have the protection of the Geneva Convention. Oops. Obamasiah, the Prince of Peace Prize, expanding the war. Saying one thing, doing quite the opposite, and as if to help shine a light on that headline, real war against terrorists not in Afghanistan, but in Pakistan, Yemen, and Somalia. Our next bit from Reuters. Afghanistan says they found 1.8 billion barrel oil field. That may let you know more of why we're in Afghanistan, the graveyard of empires. Sure does have a lot of drugs and oil, because that's their god, gold, oil, and drugs. 61 truckloads with 300 tons of explosives go missing in India. We can get this story from Xinhua as well as AsianAge.com and also the report from NDTV.com.
Now we're moving on to the other big story we've been tracking, the 60 trucks full of explosives that have gone missing from a government-owned explosive factory in the Dholpur district of Rajasthan. In fact, they've gone missing in Madhya Pradesh. Now news coming in that four of those trucks have been found in Rajgarh, but without any explosive, and the police are questioning the driver of the trucks for more on that. Well, for more details, let's go across to Rubina Khan, who has been tracking this story. Rubina, what can you tell us?
Gargi, at the moment we have got a lot of information. First and foremost is that that one of the employees of Ganesh Trading Company, explosive and magazine trading company, was picked up and he was interrogated by the Sagar police, and he has revealed a lot of details, and they have got down the breakups of all the 60 trucks where they have been diverted. These 60 trucks were meant for Ganesh magazine and explosives in Sagar district, but they never reached Sagar district, and it was only the SP Sagar, when he started interrogation, he found out that these 60 trucks were meant for Sagar, but they never reached. So after a preliminary investigation, they found out that most of these trucks had been diverted to different places.
Diverted. And that's the kind of story that has the red flags that we see in shady black op false flag activities, deviating from standard operating procedure. Continuing down the geopolitics and war horse list of powder kegs looking for sparks, in a pretty landmark interview, former Pakistani General Hamid Gul, last name G-U-L, gave an interview with Alex Jones. It's up on InfoWars, where, among other things, he notes, as many others have quite recently, fearing that some type of World War III is imminent. Again, I can't get into all the amazing things that they go into in this interview, but as we've discussed in the past, Pakistan, their intelligence is called the ISI. It was set up with help from the CIA. They were involved in funding and training the Mujahideen against the Soviets in the late 70s. Operation Cyclone, Brzezinski, Gates, all the same ghouls, same ploys. And again, that's what I think a lot of these alternative news and truth movements, whether they're about food or 9/11 or whatever, are about: taking these tools that have been used by our misleaders for so long and showing them to the public and breaking them in front of everyone. He also, of course, notes, this being former ISI, Hamid Gul, that essentially there is an elite that run things. 9/11 was a false flag, provocateur event with the help of intelligence agencies. The videos, the audio is all there. I implore you to check out that interview with former Pakistani General Hamid Gul. We also have all the related geopolitical war horror updates at the bottom here, where we note it's definitely Obama's war now. The same number of U.S. troops have died in Afghanistan under Obama as did during Bush's time. We get this story from the Daily Mail and from all around the world, but that should really put things into perspective for you. That in just, what, year and a half? More deaths thanks to the Afghan surge. And as we're about to get into, all the talk about the war in Iraq is pretty much over. Drawing attention, misdirecting, it's all smoke and mirror, dog and pony, bread and circus, pick your analogy. But from the New York Times, U.S. to double mercenary forces in Iraq after 2011 military pullout. That's not their headline. That's a more accurate headline from blacklistednews.com. As the U.S. military prepares to leave Iraq by the end of 2011, the Obama administration's planning a remarkable civilian effort buttressed by a small army of contractors to fill the void. Filling the void. All done by contractors, private military contractors. That's something, again, that Gould gets into. Of course you're going to have black op activity. You essentially have wars internationally being played out and carried out by mercenaries, by people who will work for someone who pays them the top dollar. They pay no allegiance to any flag or any nation or any country or any corporation, perhaps. That's helped us get further into this situation. When you don't even have people believing the phony official stories or not, believing you're fighting for your country. Army AWOLs and desertions double, sex crimes triple. That's from allgov.com as well. Pentagon avoids giving some veterans benefits by just changing the name of their disorder. We have a poll being reported by Press TV. That's out of Iran. They hate the great Satan. But we know this too. You just have to look harder for it. No to U.S. wars at an all-time high. Of course, anti-war sentiments, or at least in polls, I don't know if it shows in people's daily lives or actions or conversations. But they're against these wars of aggression. Because, of course, our cities and towns are all falling apart. And the rats know that the ship is sinking. And if you need any more proof of this, from the Grand Rapids Press, Blackwater founder and Holland native Eric Prince, I'm sure they mean Holland, Michigan. Eric Prince has moved to Abu Dhabi. Prince, last year, of course, severed his ties with Blackwater, now known as ZXE. But if we grab from the New York Times, current and former colleagues said Mr. Prince hoped to focus on security work from governments in Africa and the Middle East. They also said he was bitter about the legal scrutiny and negative publicity his company had received. He needs a break from America, quote-unquote, said one colleague, speaking only on the condition of anonymity about Mr. Prince's long-rumored move to Abu Dhabi in the United Arab Emirates. The rats are running. They've divested themselves. They know the dollar is doomed. They know that America is going to have the rug pulled out from under it in a controlled demolition that's being carried out as we speak. It may look clumsy. Some of them may lose their shirts, but it is, of course, happening by design. James Corbett and I joked and debated about whether or not this would be good news, but amazingly enough, in this story, it was on the front of Yahoo. They were really pimping it. Fidel Castro fascinated by book on Bilderberg Club. Castro fascinated with book on Bilderberg Club, theory propounded by far left, far right. Dateline Havana, Fidel Castro showcasing a theory long popular both among the far left and far right, that the shadowy Bilderberg group has become a kind of global government, controlling not only international politics and economics, but even culture. The 84-year-old former Cuban president published an article Wednesday that used three of the only 8 pages in the Communist Party newspaper Granma to quote, largely verbatim, from a 2006 book by Lithuanian-born writer Daniel Estulin. Estulin's book, The Secrets of the Bilderberg Club, or Club Bilderberg as I believe it's known in the States, argues that the international group largely runs the world. It's held a secretive annual forum of prominent politicians, thinkers, and businessmen since it was founded in 1954 at the Bilderberg Hotel in Holland. Does this maybe go along with Ahmadinejad talking about 9/11 truth? You have that moment of going, yeah, they're talking about it, getting the word out. But, of course, they're not necessarily the kind of spokespeople you want. And that's what they use a lot of times, straw man arguments. As if, you know, Ahmadinejad represents questions about 9/11. We mentioned Wyclef. He was reported by Gather.com to be in hiding after receiving death threats in Haiti, as we just referenced on the top of Google News. Wyclef Jean, here it is, insists he's eligible for Haitian presidency. Unfortunately, artists, and especially musicians, are probably the most influential folks the modern world has ever seen. And whenever you have folks like that become politically activated, politically motivated, you see what happens to them. Sometimes it's by accident. Rock stars die all the time. Although not too much recently, because it's all now been completely Disney-fied and safed up. We almost long for the days of things like Tommy Lee-like shenanigans. Almost. But when you see folks like Bob Marley or John Lennon become overtly politically involved and motivated, they have to be silenced. I think the same could be said for somebody like Tupac. Folks like that could have masses of people flash mob at a moment's notice. And that's pretty much a huge danger to the intelligence industrial complex. And I think on a number of levels, that's why you've seen the dumbing down of culture. It's been American Idol'd. It's been Disney-fied. It's been completely neutered and safe. The only things worth checking out on a number of levels, and that's why we're doing this, happen in the more independent and alternative scenes, whether you're talking about music or film or web or art or anything. Then the corporations come in and buy it up. They buy your cool. Or they underwrite your events because it's a pittance to them. They can throw some crumbs to your film festival or concert that's going on. Portland's a great example. Great concerts going on with fantastic regional and national artists. And of course it's going to be underwritten by Nike and their sweatshops. How are you going to turn that down? They want to absorb your cool, the merchants of cool, as Douglas Rushkoff put it. But I got sidetracked there. We're finishing off the geopolitics and war horse powder kegs looking for sparks. We have multinational exercises focusing on Panama Canal defense. That's from Military Online. And so a lot of these things are going to swirl around each other, whether it's the war or Obama or pullouts, all of these things. Then if you didn't know any better, you'd think the Iraq war is completely over. So much like the Gulf oil spill, which apparently, oh, it's all done. It's gone. Don't worry about it. You can go swimming. Like our president supposedly did. All over the news over the last day or so, here it is from The Guardian. U.S. withdraws military from Iraq. After 7.5 years, the final U.S. combat troops have pulled out of Iraq, 2 weeks ahead of Barack Obama's August 31st deadline. However, about 50,000 U.S. service personnel remain in the country in an advise and assist role, primarily responsible for training Iraqi security forces. Again, private military contractors doing the training. But let's break it down from antiwar.com. And it was another one of those great TV moments. Embedded reports filming as the last brigade of American troops in Iraq crossed the border into Kuwait, bringing our 7 years of unhappy conflict to its final conclusive end. America was, at last, at peace. But like so many other great TV moments, this one was a scripted fantasy, a fake exit done purely for political gain by an increasingly unpopular president trying to look like he's keeping at least one campaign promise. It was perhaps a different sort of scripted mythical end to the Iraq War than the last one, Mayday 2003, mission accomplished speech from Bush the Younger. But it was no more real, as over 50,000 U.S. troops remain on the ground in Iraq tonight. The end of the war may bring some measure of relief to the American people, but it must be something of a somber reminder for those 50,000 troops as they continue to go into combat operations, with the bulk of the American public believing, because their president and their lapdog corporate-controlled media told them so, that the war is over. Combat operations have ended. Glad that's over. Glad we got that taken care of. So that was the massive geopolitics, war whores, powder kegs looking for sparks, going into much greater detail. And of course, we covered it, but went over it in a thumbnail fashion on the most recent episode of New World Next Week. But let's keep it connected and let's keep things rolling to our next post on MediaMonarchy.com. This going back to last Saturday, August 14th, 2010, Obama defends right to build a Ground Zero mosque. This coming from the Big Brother Corporation, the BBC. U.S. President Barack Barry Satoru Obama has staunchly defended controversial plans to build a mosque near Ground Zero in New York. Opponents have protested against the construction of an Islamic cultural center and mosque several hundred feet away from the site of the Twin Towers. Obama acknowledged sensitivities surround the 9/11 site, but said Muslims must have the same right to practice their religion as anyone else. Since a New York developer announced plans to build a 13-story Islamic community center and mosque about two blocks from the former World Trade Center site, prominent Republican politicians and a host of conservative pundits have attacked the project. Some relatives of people killed in the terror attacks on the World Trade Center in 2001 are also opposed to the plan.
Recently, attention has been focused on the construction of mosques in certain communities, particularly New York. Now, we must all recognize and respect the sensitivities surrounding the development of Lower Manhattan. The 9/11 attacks were a deeply traumatic event for our country. And the pain and the experience of suffering by those who lost loved ones is just unimaginable. So I understand the emotions that this issue engenders, and Ground Zero is indeed hallowed ground. But let me be clear. As a citizen and as president, I believe that Muslims have the right to practice their religion as everyone else in this country. And that includes the right to build a place of worship and a community center on private property in Lower Manhattan in accordance with local laws and ordinances. This is America, and our commitment to religious freedom must be unshakable. The principle that people of all faiths are welcome in this country and that they will not be treated differently by their government is essential to who we are. The writ of the founders must endure.
This is, of course, a lot of divide and conquer, as we've already seen and already discussed. It happens on a number of levels. Left versus right, black versus white, Christian versus Muslim, Coke versus Pepsi. You get the idea. You know what really puts this into perspective? And it was just a random link I saw a friend have up on FBook. It comes from DarylLang.com, but the website is called History Eraser Button. And let's talk about, and I implore you to go to the site because you got to see it, a few photos of the hallowed ground that we're discussing here. Some photos of things that are the same distance from the World Trade Center site as this proposed Ground Zero mosque. So on this hallowed ground, we've got things that are as American as apple pie and baseball, like the New York Dolls Gentlemen's Club, off-track betting, McDonald's, Express Barbecue, Vitamin Shop, Lily O'Brien's Bar and Restaurant, Burger King, Broadway Cafe, Dunkin' Donuts, people selling knockoff Milton Glaser I Heart New York t-shirts. Hallowed ground, my friends. I can't help but think of Bill Hicks in talking about women priests when we talk about this, but I'm not going to get into that. But this is the game being played, and I've seen tons of articles swirling around this as well, saying more and more people believe Obama is a Muslim. But let's get some related 9/11 updates and Obamasiyah updates. And again, on the show, we try and lay things out to where it makes sense and to where things flow in order. And I think I do it pretty well. But again, it's all laid out for you on the sites. All the links are there. In the show notes, you will get a full list of every headline and article title that we go over. They're done in order. Where the clips are, where they came from. Because I want anybody else to know where this information comes from as much as I want to know. So we're swirling around Obamasiah and Ground Zero, and the most recent episode from Clyde Lewis of GroundZeroMedia.org is called Eschaton, End Times. And it gets into the World Trade Center sites and Barack Hussein Obama, and how the World Trade Center sites were already replete with Islamic symbols. Check out Jake Kotze's work into synchromysticism, the Ben Stone, the Kaaba Stone, the monoliths, the pillars. It's all there. Oh yeah, forgot to tell you, Lady Gaga was in town last night. I tried to see if anybody went to the show in town. I haven't. No takers, no bites. But of course, giving them links to VigilantCitizen.com, who gets into the Masonic occult symbolism of Lady Gaga and her ilk. And we'll touch on that in a little bit. Secret terror tapes of 9/11 plotter Ramzi bin al-Shib found under a CIA desk. That comes from the New York Daily News, but let's break it down from allgov.com. When CIA destroyed interrogation tapes, they missed one set. At least one piece of history survived the CIA's attempt to erase evidence of its secret prison program during the Bush administration, when suspected terrorists were confined throughout the world at hidden locations, black sites, interrogated, and in some cases tortured. Two videotapes and one audio tape of the interrogation of Ramzi bin al-Shib have surfaced following the CIA's illegal destruction in 2005 of 92 video recordings of other detainees held in secret prisons. The AP reported the Ramzi bin al-Shib recordings were found 3 years ago in a box under a desk at Langley. But the tapes do... they don't show bin al-Shib, who's allegedly a key liaison between 9/11 hijackers and al-Qaeda's leadership, being tortured, just answering questions from intel officers in Morocco, where the Yemeni was confined. You can link over and read more on historycommons.org about all the alleged perpetrators, double and triple agent patsies involved in the false flag catalyzing catastrophic events of 9/11. Washington Post says the CIA tapes of 9/11 detainees interrogation don't show torture. But let's grab a little bit of good news from world911truth.org, and the story does come from, again, the New York Daily News. In a breakthrough for first responders, Obama broke his silence on the Zadroga bill. Zadroga, Z-A-D-R-O-G-A. Last Wednesday, backed up the uphill drive to get this legislation through Congress. A statement from the White House said, quote, "The president looks forward to signing the 9/11 health bill into law once it passes both houses of Congress to help the first responders whose health and livelihood were devastated by the events of 9/11. Of course, being told that the air was safe to breathe didn't help things. And of course, with all the other disgusting Congress dodging national security directives, presidential decision directives, executive orders, signing statements, they can use those things to do the dastardly things that would never pass in the light of day, but somehow they just have to wade through the bipartisan wrangling when they should just take care of the people who are helping. 9/11 truth or not, and that's what shows the fraudulent, destroyed nature of our state and our military, civil servants. When you risk your neck, they still don't even take care of you. The other Obamasiah updates posted at the bottom of this Obamasiah Ground Zero Mosque is Bombshell Barack. Bombshell: Barack Obama conclusively outed as CIA creation. Wayne Mattson has a series of articles called All in the Company. The company, of course, being the Central Intelligence Agency. We've touched on this briefly, and again, perhaps we should do full-on work into this, but we've touched on this over the last couple of years now, and that would be the story of Obama and his intelligence connections, the lost years, the Brzezinski puppet strings, his involvement with a known CIA company, BIC, Business International Corporation. But what Wayne Mattson and this Bombshell Barack article series, and fortunately on InfoWars, they put all three parts of the article on one page. It's all there handily. And again, like we always say, make sure to save your PDFs so nothing can go down the memory hole. This story further illuminates, if you will, the family connections going back through the moms and the stepdads and the intelligence agencies and Suharto and Indonesia and CIA funding. It's all there. It's an intelligence operation. I'm not doing this justice, but we need to keep moving. Niall Gardner, writing for The Telegraph, notes the stunning decline of Obama. 10 key reasons why the Obama presidency is in meltdown. Out of touch. People don't have confidence in him. He fails to inspire. We're drowning in debt. His big government message is falling flat. His support for socialized health care is a huge political mistake. His handling of the Gulf spill was weak-kneed and indecisive. U.S. foreign policy is an embarrassing mess. He's muddled and confused on national security. And Obama doesn't believe in American greatness. Now, that's coming from the U.K. Now, we've noted that the Gulf oil spill is all taken care of, so of course our president can go for a swim in the Gulf. Trying to convince Americans that the Gulf of Mexico remains open for business. Perhaps he didn't want the world to catch another glimpse of his hairless chest. So when he and his daughter Sasha took a dip in the sea off Florida last weekend, only the White House photographer was allowed to capture their proceedings. The official picture was intended to provide evidence that the region's beaches are back to normal. Yet it soon emerged that the private beach on which it was taken off Alligator Point in St. Andrews Bay, northwest Florida, isn't technically in the Gulf. More photo ops. It's all a charade. To wrap up this post, and again, this is all coming from the Obamasiya Ground Zero Mosque story that ties in our 9/11 and other Obamasiya All in the Company updates. We're going to close it out with the latest appearance of Webster Tarpley of Tarpley.net on Russia Today, which is going to further expand all of this that swirls around that we're talking about and get more into Obama 2012, Petraeus, and a pullout.
U.S. Defense Secretary Robert Gates and the top military commander in Afghanistan, David Petraeus, seem to be at odds about troop withdrawal, which is actually scheduled for next year. Well, investigative journalist Webster Tarpley is here for more. Good to see you, Webster.
Thank you. You
have Robert Gates saying, look, there is no question in anybody's mind that they're going to start withdrawing troops in 2011, whereas you have General David Petraeus saying, hey, you know, when it comes time, I'm going to offer my military advice to Barack Obama, and this date may not even be realistic. So who's really in charge here?
Well, in this country, generally, it's the ruling elite centered in Wall Street that's in charge. The question of Afghanistan is now bound up with the presidential succession and the crisis of the Obama regime. If you look at this interview with Petraeus yesterday, Big David Gregory, Meet the Press, special edition, it's clear that Petraeus regards the 2011 July deadline to begin the pullout as something which is flexible, it's open to discussion, it's going to be, as he says, determined by conditions on the ground. Now, even what Gates is talking about is the beginning of a token withdrawal. The guy who really needs the withdrawal is Obama, because his political crisis is now serious, right? We just had this flap about the tensions between Obama and his base. Governor Rendell of Pennsylvania, who is an experienced Democratic politician, former head of the Democratic National Committee, says that Obama will face a primary challenge over the war if things keep going the way they are. Now, this raises the question of the presidency. Petraeus, in that interview, seems to deny that he's running for president.
He didn't seem to deny it. He ruled out the possibility of running for president.
He was asked, will you run for president? The answer to that, of course, is no. I'm not going to run.
Right.
I'm waiting for a draft. The big question is, would you accept the draft? And, of course, he doesn't want to be like Grant. I mean, Grant is a bad word in terms of
let me ask you this.
Failed presidents for these people.
The way things are going in Afghanistan, where you have the 2,000 mark of NATO deaths there in Afghanistan, you have opinion polls continually decreasing, who would want to run on the Afghanistan ticket?
Well, first of all, let's look at the machine that's now assembled behind Petraeus. Petraeus is a candidate for president no matter what he says, and he didn't deny it. He ruled out this vulgar process of running. He is the neocon candidate. He is the main vehicle of the neocon restoration.
What makes you so sure of that?
Well, because
we've
had all these appearances that he's made. He's gone to the American Enterprise Institute and received the Irving Kristol Award from the Kagans. He's been lionized in the Weekly Standard by William Kristol. Charles Krauthammer on television, Max Boot, Frank Gaffney, the whole neocon faction have come together around him. So he is the vehicle of this presidential candidacy.
Well,
now,
there's no doubt that they support him. But look, how can you say that you can run a campaign on one issue, especially when it's a foreign policy issue? If we look back at history, let's look at George Bush versus Clinton. People voted based on the economy. There is an economic crisis here in the United States.
Yeah, and Obama's a failure in the economic crisis.
I mean, that depends on who you ask, but how can you say that you can have a candidate who's only going to run on this foreign policy issue? That's not doing very well.
He's going to run on the fecklessness and impotence of Obama as a failed president. And he'll say,
what about his military methods?
His military methods, of course, are decisive, right? He's the victor of Mesopotamia. Now, whatever happens in Afghanistan, of course, it's a lost war in military terms, you're right to point out. But at the same time, it is very likely that this is now going to be eclipsed by a bigger war, by the attack on Iran, which is now the talk of all Washington. Everybody's talking about the Atlantic Monthly piece about how Israel is inevitably going to attack Iran and drag the United States into a bigger war. The more the military emergency increases, and there's every indication that it will, the more Generalissimo Petraeus comes to the fore. Now, the other side of it is the Republican candidates are unelectable. Palin is a reactionary imbecile. Huckabee is a clown. Paolenti is a non-entity. These people like Barber and DeMint are maybe regional Southern favorite Sun candidates. The one serious one is Romney, who's got all kinds of good Wall Street connections. But he's not acceptable to the right-wing fanatics of the Tea Party. Because he was governor of Massachusetts. But he was the one who brought you the Obama health care plan in Massachusetts. I mean, whatever Obama has done is based on what Romney did in Massachusetts. So therefore, what they're looking for is the model. Dwight Eisenhower, 1952. Don't go into the Republican Party where you've got Joe McCarthy and Bob Taft and these reactionaries running around. Don't have a Republican Party that's going to run on down with Social Security, down with unemployment insurance, let's have wars, tax cuts for the rich, and so forth. Have somebody who comes in like Petraeus who says, I'm a thinking man, I'm thoughtful, I'm decisive, I can lead. And he is the thinking man's warmonger. He's got all kinds of intellectual pretensions, so Republicans will love him because he's military, and independents will love him because he's an intellectual.
Webster, always always an interesting conversation. We're going to have to wait and see whether or not you're right. And if you are, we'll certainly have you right back here and defending your stance once again. Investigative journalist Webster Tarpley.
The thinking man's warmonger. I like that. That is Tarpley.net on Russia Today discussing possible 2012 Petraeus run. I'll really fix Afghanistan. And we still have so very much to go over as we approach hour number two. So we'll take this opportunity to remind you that you're listening to the 183rd episode of Media Monarchy, being recorded and streamed worldwide live Friday morning, August 20th, 2010, from the Portland Radio Authority, praradio.org, and of course, zeropointradio.com, revereradio.net, frolympia.org, berkeleyliberationradio.net, radio23.org, and so much more. Thanks to all those outlets who help spread Media Monarchy. And yes, Yes. What we're going to do now, because it's loud, I have to have multiple fans running to keep the cool studio cool and big trucks going outside as I run my own board and look at my notes and fix the stream and set the lights and bring the music bed down a little bit. Spinning media plates for you, my friends. Like I said, my name is James Evan Pilato, host and webmaster of MediaMonarchy.com, episode 183. Let's jump to the latest ugly news purge. It's a take on the world news purge named for our opening track from Waves. Posted up yesterday, August 19th. And it's going to go all around the world through a lot of different subjects. West Virginia worry, Oregon oddities, murder and mayhem, media, memes, holy hexes, history, mystery, and we're going to start it off with BioWars and Enviro Health updates. And again, it's fun to coin words and make a portmanteau smashing words together, because when I use those and they become synonymous with the website, the more those words start to get out, the more hits are going to land at the site. Just throwing out other little my first blogger tips. But a story I posted a link to over on Facebook.com/MediaMonarchy, and it got people going. It comes from theregister.co.uk, and they are admittedly quite snarky. And because it's in the UK and it's written kind of loosely, there are things that don't kind of translate well. People have no bloody idea about saving energy. U.S. survey shows those keenest to be the greenest are the most ignorant. People who make an effort to be eco-friendly, for instance by recycling glass bottles, turning off lights, and unplugging cell phone chargers, have no idea what they're on about, according to a new survey. Those who don't bother are more likely to know what actually saves energy and what doesn't. This revelation comes in a new report from the Earth Institute at Columbia University in the United States, analyzing responses made by Americans in 34 states. The respondents in the survey showed lamentable ignorance of which actions taken by a normal consumer actually have any serious effect on how much energy he or she uses, and thus probably the amount of carbon emissions he or she is responsible for. And it goes into carbon and light bulbs and recycling and all of those things, and I'm not going to hop over to Facebook to read what some friends and other just virtual media monarchy acquaintances are saying about this snarky story from the Register. Keenest to be greenest are the most ignorant. But it reminds me of the story going around here in Portland on this possible plastic bag ban. That one, just making more laws just makes more criminals. And ultimately, and I think this is what folks were saying, you got to be the change you want to see in the world. You don't have to necessarily legislate it. You just have to do it and be it. So, you can go jump into that debate, but we don't really have time to get into it. Because I need to tell you from GMWatch.org that the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation recently bought some shares in Goldman Sachs and Monsanto. That should neither surprise or make you happy. We mentioned, I believe it was last week, the very important story of the cancer cluster in Frederick, Maryland, of course, surrounding Fort Detrick, home of the anthrax attacks. Well, now, according to BioPrepWatch.com, Fort Detrick to open drug and vaccine testing facility. Goody. FDA approves 5-day after birth control pill fluoride mouth rinse program to restart in schools this year, because we know that fluoride is good for you. I mean, the Nazis knew it. It makes for a docile mass. And it's a great way for the chemical industrial complex to get rid of their waste. the waste that they don't sell to us over the counter. They slip it to us under the counter. Forced medication is what fluoride program is. Unfortunately, here in Portland, Oregon, we do not fluoridate the water. Doesn't mean there aren't a bunch of anti-androgens and personal care products and pharmaceuticals in the water. I do recommend a Berkey water filter. Nearly a million kids in the U.S. potentially diagnosed incorrectly for having ADHD. Gosh, I give my kid high fructose corn syrup and GMO foods and let him play video games and watch TV all day, but he somehow just can't pay attention. Why can't Johnny pay attention? Senator Lindsey Graham receives a powder-filled letter, and if you check out bioprepwatch.com, there have been a mass amounts of anthrax hoaxes going around. I don't know if that's a sign of anything to come, but I'm blown away by the amount pouring out from bioprepwatch.com. Activistpost.com getting into weather wars and the devil's HAARP. Of course, HAARP, the High Frequency Active Auroral Research Program in Alaska, heats up the ionosphere, can possibly, probably affect the weather, and can possibly even affect your mind. Back to the Gulf oil spill. Of course, you know, the thing that's over. The Iraq war is over. Gulf spill's over. However, Georgia scientists say at least 70% of the spilled oil is still unaccounted for. Contrary to the much-touted federal government report issued August 2nd by the National Incident Command, the vast majority of the oil spilled into the Gulf of Mexico from the Deepwater Horizon accident is still in the ocean. Now, of course, we can call it an accident, but as we reported back following the 420 explosion at Deepwater, they were running drills. There were massive put options leading up to. People were told it was safe to be there without health respirators. Those, you know, those kind of things. People were made to sign non-disclosure agreements, all the signs of some sort of catastrophic catalyzing event. Whether they made it happen on purpose or let it happen on purpose, we know both sides of the phony bird never let a catastrophe go to waste. They use the Hegelian dialectic, which is thesis, antithesis, synthesis, or problem, reaction, solution. Our last note on BioWars and EnviroHealth, there is a clip to go for it. I don't have it for you. Spike Lee on Olbermann talking about BP's greed and how it could be the downfall of the U.S. I guess pick your downfall. But on down the news purge list into history mystery by way of truthout.org, the hidden tragedy of the CIA's experiments on children. You'll see sometimes if you... and I recommend this, run a search on Google and then subscribe to the feed of that search result. So then you'll get those results in your feed reader of choice. So if you have the terms like eugenics, you'll see those stories. And it's not uncommon to see stories come out from the heartland of America where Oklahoma apologizes for all those people they sterilized or for all those people they killed with that vaccine experiment that they knew was probably going to kill folks. These experiments are documented, but then they get turned into Hollywood make-believe, like Shutter Island. That, oh, even if these human experimentations and mind control Manchurian candidate events happened, which of course they did and they're documented, it's just some lone nut. It's Kurtz in Apocalypse Now in Heart of Darkness. It was just a lone nut. Yeah, I gave the order to torture, but oh, it was Lindy England and Grainer. They're bad. They should be punished. Well, we told and paid Hal Turner to threaten people and to incite homegrown errorism. Oh, but he went rogue. the same tools, the same tricks over and over again. And again, like I said, that's what this is about, trying to figure out these tricks and tools, and like the magician, show everybody how they do it. And I'm trying to figure it all out. I'll always be glad my man Richard Grove turned me on to Darren Brown in the most amazing trick where he plays all the chess champions against themselves, using their moves against each other, really showing how global governance really works. And we should also mention, I now realize I don't have it posted up yet, the latest episode from peacerevolution.org makes a reference to Murder on the Orient Express, the Agatha Christie novel and film which is streaming on Netflix. It's in my queue. But in the murder, there's too much evidence. Everyone's a suspect. And again, that makes a great analogy for the way things play out. You know, like like the Onion. What was it? You know, JFK killed by Oswald, LBJ, Castro, Freemasons. So the other history mystery note, along with hidden tragedy of CIA experiments on children, takes us yet again, my friends, to Fox News, this time Fox8.com, WJW, where former FBI agent Don Adams states something that we should all know. Oswald didn't do it.
November 22nd, 1963, President John F. Kennedy is gunned down in Dallas. Officially, Lee Harvey Oswald fired the fatal shots from the Texas Book Depository. But now, a local man's got history in the crosshairs.
Did Lee Harvey Oswald kill President John F. Kennedy?
No. Had nothing to do with it.
Former FBI agent Don Adams from Summit County says thousands of National Archives prove
the Warren Commission was nothing but a bunch of liars.
The Korean War veteran entered the FBI September 1962. He was assigned to Thomasville, Georgia, where he began investigating a man named Joseph Adams Miltier.
He was reported to be one of the most violent men in the country.
A friend of Miltier's, William Somerset, who was also an FBI informant, said Miltier was threatening JFK.
And Somerset was telling them that he was really radical and he was saying bad things about what they wanted to do to Kennedy.
Agent Adams completed the Miltier investigation, and a week later, shots rang out in Dallas.
It appears as though something has happened in the motorcade route.
It devastated me. And I thought to myself, what did I do wrong?
His boss said, find Miltier.
I said goodbye to my partner. He never said a word to me about anything about Miltier that he knew him or anything.
Many years later, Don learned that agents contacted his partner, who told them Miltier was in Georgia, essentially eliminating him as a suspect.
And that shocked me when I saw that document, because I knew it was an outright lie.
Then, when Adams finally captured Miltier days later, he says his supervisor prohibited him from conducting a proper interrogation. Miltier was released, and Agent Adams transferred.
And where did I go but to Dallas, Texas?
He remembers seeing the Zapruder film for the very first time.
And all of a sudden, I saw the president go like this with his hand. And I said, hell, I said, he was shot in the throat. The minute that you have a frontal shot, Oswald can't be the shooter, because this came from a grassy knoll. And Oswald was in Texas School Book Depository.
The Warren Commission said three shots were fired, but Don counted 11.
The agent said to me, Don, be careful what you say and how you say it, because the Warren Commission is here, and they've already ruled that Oswald is the shooter, and there were no shots from the front.
The Army veteran wondered how Oswald fired three shots in 7.5 seconds from a bolt-action rifle.
I'm going to tell you something right now, guys. There's no way in the world Oswald shot that weapon. And boy, I mean, I was really cautioned then.
Don eventually retired from the FBI, never thinking twice about Miltier, until 1992, when he saw a picture in this book, which he says positively places Miltier in Dallas the day of the shooting.
Joseph Adams Miltier, looking at the presidential car moments before the president was killed.
At the National Archives and Records Administration, Don found many reports missing or manipulated, including his file on Miltier from '63.
Everything that I had done was gone. Everything was gone.
But the most startling discovery was a tape recording captured by Miami intelligence officers November 9th, 1963, just weeks before Dallas. Miltier is talking to the informant, William Somerset. The FBI headquarters and Secret Service both had that tape within days.
It should have stopped the president from traveling yesterday.
But they didn't.
And he says he was jubilant.
Bragging to Somerset, "You thought I was kidding when I said he would be killed from a window with a high-powered rifle." Despite all of that, Miltier was never even mentioned in the Warren Commission report.
When Hoover set up the propaganda in the FBI, don't embarrass the FBI. That was his rule. And you didn't. So they ordered everything put into the archive and to be forgotten about it.
But Don can't forget and hopes something is done before the truth is buried forever.
I mean, when we die off, when we're gone, there's not going to be anybody who's going to sit here and tell you these things. I hope the truth gets told, whatever it is.
In Summit County, Suzanne Stratford, Fox 8 News.
Let justice be done, though the heavens fall. It's been a while, I think, since we've reported on any amount of JFK truth here on MediaMonarchy.com. Of course, we've gone over it extensively over the last few years, and of course, I'm sure we'll probably return to it as the anniversary approaches this November. On down the news purge list, as we take on the world, we get to a couple of holy hexes. And amazingly, my friends, from CNN, the remains of John the Baptist, have they been found in Bulgaria?
Archaeologists in Bulgaria claim they have found remains of John the Baptist while excavating the site of a 5th century monastery on the Black Sea island of Sveti Ivan. A reliquaria container for holy relics discovered last week under the monastery's basilica was opened on Sunday and found to contain bone fragments of a skull, a hand and a tooth, Bulgaria's official news agency BTA reported. Christians believe John the Baptist heralded the arrival of Christ and baptized Jesus in the River Jordan. According to the Gospels, John was put to death by beheading on the orders of the local ruler, Herod Antipas. He is considered a particularly significant figure in the Orthodox Church.
Oh, John the Baptist, oh, John divine, let the hardest round his life. His meat was locust and honey, wild honey, Lord, wild honey. told the angel ghost here about John. So he flew from the pit with the moon round his waist, got the wind in his fist and the stars round his wrist, crying, holy, holy to the Lamb.
From her fantastic Fox Confessor Brings the Flood record, that was Nico Case with John. Saw that number, and that was, of course, too appropriate to pass up following our story of possible remains of John the Baptist found in Bulgaria. Posted along with that, we also, by way of Cryptogon.com, and it's all downloadable on Scribd, the 2010 Bohemian Grove membership and map list. But let's move into media and memes by way of the LA Times. Ray Bradbury hates big government and is mad at President Obama, but it's not about the economy, the war, or the plan to construct a mosque near Ground Zero. He should be announcing that we should go back to the moon, says the iconic author, whose 90th birthday on August 22nd will be marked in L.A. with more than a week's worth of Bradbury film, TV screenings, tributes, and yada yada. We should never have left there. We should go to the moon and prepare a base to fire a rocket off to Mars and then go to Mars and colonize Mars. Then when we do that, we will live forever. The man who wrote Fahrenheit 451, Something Wicked This Way Comes, The Martian Chronicles, Dandelion Wine, The Illustrated Man, on and on, has been called one of America's great dreamers, but his imagination takes him to some dark places when it comes to contemporary politics, saying, quote, I think our government is in need of a revolution. There's too much government today. We got to remember the government should be by the people, of the people, and for the people. He also notes we have too many cell phones, too many internets. We got to get rid of those machines. And that's not our only note of folks mentioning revolution. Although, as we always note, we're not inciting anyone to do anything with this information. We're hoping to incite a revelation, as Anthony Hilder would say. If we can incite a revelation, that's the ultimate revolution. And not the one Aldous Huxley talked about, where we would love our servitude. Now, I don't think it exactly inspired it, because it's too well-produced a video to have come out so quickly, but my man Jeff Long on Redacted News, in reporting on Ray Bradbury noting our country is in need of a revolution, mentions a song, so not safe for work, F Me, Ray Bradbury. You should check out the video. But we don't have time for it here, and frankly, I'd much rather play Nico Case than fuck me, Ray Bradbury. But speaking of the F-bombs, Hong Kong film hopes to break new ground with 3D porn. That is from Reuters. Oh, porn. Will you never stop with your technological advances? That's the whole reason all our DVD remote controls have angle buttons on them. New work from VigilantCitizen.com on Kanye West's new 90-second video called Power. It's essentially one shot, and it has, of course, replete with the two pillars and the horns, and all the occult symbology is studied by VigilantCitizen.com. We already noted all his amazing work on Lady Gaga, who was at the Rose Garden last night here in Portland. Daily Mail article from their female blog, Lady Gaga is poisoning children's minds. Somehow, I suppose it relates, and that's why it's in the Media Memes Mix from TheWeek.com, remembering Kathy. Death of an anxious cartoon icon. Yes, the end of Kathy in the comics. In the U.S., confidence in newspapers and TV news remains a rarity. That's from a Gallup poll. And our last media meme note is a new original piece from Michael Vale of BlacklistedNews.com on voyeurism and television, feeding our ravenous appetite for murder and destruction. And he starts it off, appropriately enough, with a quote from Ray Bradbury. The television, that insidious beast, that Medusa which freezes a billion people to stone every night staring fixedly, that siren which called and sang and promised so much and gave, after all, so little. The television was being developed in the 1800s and today has become a mainstay in nearly every home around the world. Many knew the benefit of having this device in the home, especially early scientists who were mastering direct marketing to the public. This was before the age of living above your means and the credit crisis. The creators of television and the pioneering marketeers have paved the way for the world we live in today. Yet there is much more that has been done to us that remains under wraps and rarely discussed, and their hallmark has marred our lives without our knowing. This article goes on and cites and quotes Raymond Chandler, among Ray Bradbury. And again, that's why we pay attention to our artists, because at their best, hopefully, they are tapped in. And not only can show you what's happening, but forecast what will happen. And that ties in with art imitating life, imitating politics, and the copycat effect, and media memes, and the media virus, and all of those things that I went to school for, that we don't have time to get into now. But our ravenous appetite for destruction leads us into the latest murder and mayhem headlines. 8 shot, 4 killed outside of Buffalo restaurant. And from KPTV.com, they arrested a guy incorrectly. Charges dropped against that guy. No new arrests. Arresting the wrong guys. Early reports of 2 shooters. And I'm not saying that that happened in this case. But again, these are the red flags we look for in these kind of events as being some kind of event. More than what they say. The number 8 again, 8 dead, 12 hurt at an off-road race in California, in a California desert. More on that from the Associated Press. And I believe in our creepy customers visiting MediaMonarchy.com will mention somebody Googled, 8 killed. And they were searching some other story. They were searching this Buffalo story, which I hadn't posted yet, but we had something last week where 8 were killed. 23 people slain along the U.S.-Mexico border in a 24-hour period. That's from Raw Story. Orangeburg, South Carolina, mother charged with killing her 2 toddler sons. This unfortunately reminds me of the still ongoing case here in Oregon, the Kyron Horman case, missing child, now been going on for months. It's made national news and has made the tabloids all around the country. I worry it's going to turn out it was the stepmom under some kind of either real or claimed psychotropic pharmaceutical-induced spree. But our last murder and mayhem note, Cryptogon.com notes, you remember that couple that had the hit list in Alaska? There was this couple, and they had supposedly a hit list of 20 people they were going to kill. Well, apparently that drug-addled husband had help from an undercover cop. Wouldn't you know it? You see it time and time again. You see people of substandard intelligence being duped, being prodded along, being funded, being poked, being paid to say inflammatory things, to put them on the record, to write them down, put them on video, make a little jihad diary. But that's an agent provocateur. That's an infiltrator. The guy calling for violence in the peace group could probably be a provocateur, knowingly or not. Again, None of this is as simple as just a slogan saying 9/11 was an inside job. It's, unfortunately, far darker and more complex than that. And of course, on another level, it is somewhat simple to understand. Once you start to see the puzzle pieces, and you've seen them before and see them again. Our last couple of notes on this 8/19 news purge, take on the world, Oregon oddities from nature.com, and we've reported on this in the past. Oregon oceanography dead in the water. Every summer for the past 9 years, water with lethally low concentrations of oxygen has appeared off the Oregon coast. This article from Virginia Guin gets into the Oregon dead zone. The other note, Portland fir protesters acquitted of violating space near Unger Firs downtown. More on that from the Oregonian. And that's my current state. I will have been in Portland, Oregon for almost 5 years. But my home state, born and raised, southern West Virginia. Amazingly, when I was at work Sunday, go into the break room, I can look at the pieces of the New York Times and the pieces of the Oregonian. While everybody's fighting for the sports page, I can usually grab the A sections and whatever else. Amazingly enough, this last Sunday, in the New York Times, not only the travel page, but also the business page, both had cover stories above the fold, big, beautiful photographs. In the business section, and we've also got it from allgov.com as well as the New York Times, Beyond Fossil Fuels, a Battle in West Virginia Mining Country. It's coal versus wind on a West Virginia mountain. And anytime we broach this topic, I always bring up my fantastic, I think, interview with Reverend Billy on Mountaintop Revival. But then in the travel section, they get into the Greenbrier Resort and how it hopes to preserve its past. And it was a massive piece with lots of photos. There was a puff piece a few weeks ago when the Greenbrier, who's now under new management, they've started a casino and they had a big grand opening party and it had Jessica Simpson there for some reason. Charles Barkley, I think, or Shaquille or some basketball guy there for some reason. Jennifer Garner was there. She was born in Charleston. Her and Ben Affleck were there. All to celebrate this new Greenbrier Resort. As again, I say, now it's under new management. Now we need to whore it up and make some money. You should know, and I've made references to it here and there, that the Greenbrier was formerly a Cold War era bunker for the heads of state to run to, because that's the keen thing about West Virginia. With all of its mountains, it's so close to D.C., yet so remote and so easy to get away to. That's why they had the Israeli-Syrian peace talks there the first week of the year 2000 in my college town of Shepherdstown, West Virginia. Unbelievably. The Greenbrier was an old Cold War bunker. The Washington Post ultimately outed them once the facility was out of date and not kept up and wouldn't have been able to receive the powers that be should a catastrophic catalyzing event hit the District of Criminals. You've probably also heard me speculate that I think some sort of replacement type site now exists in Jefferson County, probably numerous places. There's a lot of government agencies and private hotels that seem to spring up overnight all surrounding these peace talks. But again, we don't have time to get into that. Let's shift gears now to police state updates. Fire, fusion, and FOIA. Again, an ugly list of headlines, my friends. But we note, and I did see an article a week or so ago, but it ended up actually being about 10 years old. I thought it was a brand new article. It was an old piece from Esquire. And once I realized it was 10 years old, I didn't want to post it up as a new headline. But here it is again, in my face, from Friday the 13th. 20% of our genes are already patented by private companies. One-fifth of the human genome is currently controlled by companies that have received patents issued by the U.S. government. More than 40,000 gene patents have been awarded to biotech businesses, with even more on the way, with 3 million gene patent applications having been filed with the patent office. More on them in a moment. Critics of gene patenting question why the federal government has allowed the human genome to become proprietary possessions of corporations, given that genes are discovered, not invented. The legality of the human gene patenting, which began in 1990, came into question during a recent court case when, in March, U.S. District Judge Robert W. Sweet struck down patent claims of Myriad Genetics, which had been selling genetic screening for breast and ovarian cancer. More on this story from Singularity Hub. There's PDFs to download. There's the book, Who Owns You? The Corporate Gold Rush to Patent Your Genes. And yes, corporations are people. And we can't sue them out of existence. They never go away. That kind of story, I suppose, could have also gone under the BioWars. Again, it's sometimes difficult to put everything. These stories don't all fit into a perfect little subheading. Sports. Weather. Intelligence activities. Corporate espionage. Iris scanners create the most secure city in the world. As we welcome Big Brother, or so FastCompany.com would have you believe. Of course, mentioning Minority Report, and they at least note that it's been obsessively referenced by tech media, because that seems to be what's coming. Tom Cruise and Spielberg told us all about it. But this article from FastCompany.com talks about biometrics research and development firm Global Rainmakers announced it's rolling out its biometrics technology, iris scanning, to create what it calls the most secure city in the world in a partnership with Leon, one of the largest cities in Mexico, L-E-O-N, Leon, with a population of more than 1 million. Global Rainmakers will fill the city with eye scanners. That will help law enforcement revolutionize the way we live, not to mention marketers. So again, it's set up to be a part of the police state control grid. But if you say you don't like it, they'll just say it's for advertising. On down the police state updates, we note from dprogram.net, they call it the return of civil disobedience. And there's a nice little video where the cops try and stop school students from singing the national anthem. But fortunately, they do it anyway. Just like I had the freedom to not pledge allegiance to the flag in high school. That, of course, always got me lots of friends. But see, that's what happens when you start listening to the Dead Kennedys in junior high. Obama signs a border bill to increase surveillance. Yes, we have the border wars going on as well. Border wars, brush fires, resource wars, ground zero mosques, black versus white. Again, all these dichotomies and boxes that we fight each other about. Again, these things play into a larger scheme being handed down from the international corporate elite to all their roundtables and mouthpieces and Wurlitzers. Obama signed into law a $600 million bill last Friday to pay for 1,500 new border agents, additional unmanned surveillance drones, and new border patrol stations along the southwest border. We also note from the Telegraph, Tea Party groups converge on Mexican border to back immigration law. Again, we're going to be so ready to tear each other apart. And again, we're talking about all kinds of different subjects, but still, all of these things are powder kegs looking for a spark. God knows how many other agent provocateurs or infiltrators or Hal Turner-like plants, dupes, patsies are out there waiting to be used. perhaps even being used in a drill that flipped live that they were unaware of, such as the underwear bomber who actually tried to put the fire out once he discovered it when another passenger pointed it out to him. That was an intelligence operation. But, of course, none of the controls go away. I had the pleasure of going to the airport the other night. And I know how bad it is there. And I know how ridiculous it is. But it's one of those things that makes you play the game. I don't want to make a bad face. Mostly because I don't want any of their shit, because I don't know how well it would go over once they started to get into it. So you go and you play along and you play nice and you don't have anything bad and you throw out your liquids, even though they would dump all the liquids in the same bucket, which would kind of defeat the purpose of stopping someone from mixing up chemicals in the bathroom. Yet another phony terror event, an intelligence operation that they use to ratchet up the controls on this grid, but when it's been debunked in the back of the newspaper, if at all in the paper, the controls don't go away. It's the frog boil. It's the incremental. That's why it's not going to wake up tomorrow and it's going to be stormtrooper martial law. Nor will it probably be World War III, as Fox News and John Bolton are claiming on the 21st. Slowly turning up the heat. And again, you can pick your analogy, you can pick your quote from history of who they came for and why you didn't protest, because you weren't that. Because either way, at the end, they come to get you and you're the frog boil and no one's there to help you. Rasmussen poll reported by Newsmax, where nearly half of the respondents say the U.S. will be nuked. And again, this is what... God, I grew up with it. It was all the commies are going to get us. Jack Van Impe, World War III, Russia, Armageddon. It's all back again. And again, some of the names are changed. It has a new high-tech 21st century overlay. But the fears are all still there. It's still the day after. Putting all of those memes out there. And again, regardless of which level of the like official conspiracy theories or official stories you believe, most of these things are all still debunkable. Because even if you fear that Iran's going to get nukes, even if you fear that North Korea is going to nuke us, you've got to figure out, how did they get those weapons? How did Kim Jong-il get those? Through Rumsfeld and AQ Khan? And the black military-industrial complex? Where'd Saddam get those chemical weapons? Funding both sides, playing patsies against each other. Again, like Darren Brown playing the chess masters against each other. But other last few police state notes. Fire-breathing bartenders arrested, facing 45 years in jail. This is from the Washington Examiner. I'm not exactly sure what city this comes out of, but basically fire breathers who do it as part of their, you know, cocktail shtick have been doing it in some bar for a decade plus, but now they've been arrested because they're probably endangering critical infrastructure. Speaking of critical infrastructure, there's an article from, again, I subscribe to the feeds of a lot of sites. Some of them get posted quite frequently, as of course we refer to AllGov and Activist Post and Blacklisted News and tons of the other great sites out there. There's others that I watch just to see what those folks from their ilk are saying. HomelandSecurityWatch.com, HLSWatch.com, has an article that caught my eye called Homeland Security, Home Depot, Fusion Centers, and a Local Hardware Store. And follow my circle here. This article is basically saying Homeland Security's gotten too big and inefficient. And I realized it when I went to Home Depot and realized now they've gotten big and inefficient and I'd rather go to my small local hardware store. He was making the analogy that our Homeland Security War of Terror apparatus, the Stasi, the nanny police, the snitches, the Green Police, whichever it'll be, whatever your town begs for grants for so they can implement this garbage that, again, helps private military contractors selling the fear. And again, they're involved in all of these international operations. Do you think they want to end these operations? They need to keep business rolling. But what this reminded me of is that places like Home Depot and Target and Walmart are tied in with the fusion centers and are tied in with InfraGuard, and these things are all intimately connected. So intentionally or not, HLSWatch.com brought the meme and the idea back. Critical infrastructure, Walmart, Target, Home Depot, your post office. Our last note on police state updates from a Freedom of Information request from Threat Level. Army spy planes not used to track Times Square time bomber. That would be, of course, Faisal Shahzad. This coming, you recall, you know, weeks after the underwear bomber, we had the Times Square time bomber. And essentially, Threat Level was trying to find out because media outlets reported that basically secret military jets tracked him. Ultimately, FOIA say no. So how did they find him so quickly? Because the headlines, you recall, all said, oh, within 52 hours, they tracked, traced, captured, got him, stopped him. Yeah. But how? Time is quickly running away, my friends, so let's blast through this EconoCrash post on the Hindenburg Omen and the Ecstasy of Empire. This article comes from Paul Joseph Watson, but we also have links to other fantastic sites like ZeroHedge.com and the aforementioned Activist Post. The dreaded Hindenburg Omen will play out within weeks. UBS Financial Services Director Art Cashin says that we'll know within 3 or 4 weeks whether the dreaded Hindenburg Omen, a set of stock market factors that precede a stock market collapse, will unfold as many are now predicting. The Hindenburg Omen, named after the May 37 Hindenburg disaster, is a technical analysis that, when fulfilled, portends a greater likelihood of a stock market collapse. Although conditions for the Hindenburg Omen have been met previously without a subsequent stock market crash, there's never been a crash without a Hindenburg Omen. SHTFplan.com gets into the real purposes behind this engineered economic collapse. And yes, just like Max Kaiser calls it, just like the events of 9/11, a controlled demolition. But amazingly, and we're going to get into the ecstasy of empire, but CNN mentions the new Paul Craig Roberts article that's on InfoWars.
I want to check in with Jack Cafferty first for the Cafferty File. Jack.
Voters are fed up with our lawmakers' inability to take action when it comes to reducing this country's $1.5 trillion federal deficit. As the Wall Street Journal reports, it's the voters who appear to be more willing to take drastic steps to do something about the nation's mounting red ink. The newspaper talked to voters in Virginia, a swing state, who say they're willing to make the tough cuts, from a national sales tax to budget cuts to higher Medicare co-pays and deductibles. The voters get it, even if the federal government doesn't. And Washington really doesn't get it. Our leaders worry about being attacked in an election year if they even suggest spending cuts or tax increases. The American people just want their leaders to lead on this issue. Too much to ask, that's why they were elected, remember? One independent voter in Richmond, Virginia, told the Journal, quote here, I wish the politicians would be hard asses and be like, you know what, it's going to be horrible for the next few years, but you've got to shut up, unquote. Wouldn't that be refreshing? Meanwhile, we await the results of President Obama's bipartisan deficit reduction commission, which are conveniently scheduled for release after the November election. And when the recommendations finally do come, most, if not all of them, will have to be approved by Congress, which will likely render the entire exercise meaningless. Some are suggesting a popular uprising is perhaps the only way to get this country back on track. There's a piece on InfoWars.com suggesting, without a revolution, Americans are history. Here's the question then. If voters want the deficits addressed, why does Washington continue to ignore them? Go to CNN.com/Cafferty File and post a comment on my blog.
There you have CNN dropping a little reference to Infowars.com, and there's another reference to Without a Revolution, Americans are History. Ray Bradbury saying we need a revolution. We're saying we need a revelation. So the Paul Craig Roberts article they're mentioning is called The Ecstasy of Empire, where, among many, many, many other things, the U.S. is running out of time to get its budget and trade deficits under control. But, of course, all our misleaders are running around talking about recovery. And it seems like a lot of people are mistakenly operating under the assumption of recovery on the way. China and Japan hold $1.6 trillion in U.S. debt. Next time the White House appears to back down from a confrontation with China or Japan, keep in mind the following. Both those Asian powerhouses control more than $1.6 trillion of the United States debt. China possesses more treasury securities than any other nation, $895 billion. Japan holds the second largest portion of the U.S. debt with $766 billion in treasury holdings. We also note from Yahoo Finance, China passes Japan as second largest economy. Bloomberg notes China swallowing Obama stimulus money meant for U.S. economy. And again, all of our dollars are debt. It's a debt from the second it goes out of the bank. It's created by the private Federal Reserve, which is neither federal nor has reserves. You give them a dollar, they loan out 10. It's fake. But we pay them interest. And we just haven't thrown the money changers out yet. And again, the rats are jumping. Revolution cries are going out. Soros bailing out of U.S. stock market. This from economicpolicyjournal.com. That should tell you something large. Stimulus funds go to states that need them the least. U.S. bankruptcies near five-year high. That's from CNBC. Patent office has a backlog of 700,000 applications and a three-year wait. Now, of course, major corporations can and have already patented 20% of our bodies. But, of course, regular hardworking people trying to realize the American dream with good old-fashioned ingenuity and invention can't even get their products rolling. Unfortunately, patent office, post office, if they were allowed to, they would fail. They don't work. But, of course, we also don't have a real free market, so let's not get into that. I saw this from the New York Times, caught my eye. Budgets tight, school supply lists go beyond glue sticks. Now, on the surface, this is, yeah, budget tightening. And I've noticed the stores double-facing some of these handy wipe-type products. But the article mentions that in addition to the regular things you'd have on your school list, you know, like pencils and pens and paper, how about double rolls of paper towels, three packages of Clorox wipes, three boxes of baby wipes, two boxes of garbage bags, liquid soap, Kleenex, and Ziplocs. Corporate chemical items. Layer upon layer. And of course, where most people are unfortunately going to buy these chemical items, of course, they're going to Walmart. DailyFinance.com notes, however, that Walmart is quietly raising their prices. I believe they note some places in Virginia as much as 6% in the last week. And our last EconoCrash note on this posting on the Hindenburg Omen and the Ecstasy of Empire is an interesting one. And again, we're only going to see more and more and more of this. Homeless man lived in New Jersey library for nearly 2 weeks. Not too bad. Finally, on this episode 183 from MediaMonarchy.com, Secret of Oz, Solutions for a Broken Economy, a new documentary from the creators of the fantastic, indispensable documentary, The Money Masters, which if you haven't seen, you must. They have a new documentary, and their site, SecretOfOz.com, they note, the film was expensive, but they put it up for free. because they know that that's how, unfortunately, you have to get information out. However, we have shown and we've talked about, if you find alternative media and information and open source intelligence and non-corporate communications outlets, if you find them valuable, throw some money. Donate. Keep it going. That's how it works. So the full 1 hour, 53-minute documentary, The Secret of Oz, is up. So let's listen to just the first couple of minutes of Secret of Oz.
What's going on with the American economy? Foreclosures are everywhere, unemployment is skyrocketing, and it looks like this may only be the beginning. As a result, most Americans fear that our cherished basic freedoms and way of life are under direct attack as our standard of living sinks like a stone. But could it be that all these problems were foreseen 100 years ago by L. Frank Baum, the author of The Wonderful Wizard of Oz? Why is this just coming out? Because when the MGM movie The Wizard of Oz was made in 1939, significant changes were made from L. Frank Baum's original book version written 40 years earlier in 1899.
In the book version of The Wizard of Oz, Dorothy's slippers are made of silver, as opposed to in the film version where Dorothy's slippers are made of ruby. You take away the silver slippers on the gold or yellow brick road, and all of the other symbolism tends to be lost.
Now let's see what the experts say about our current problem, then look at our history so we can understand what L. Frank Baum was trying to say in his book, The Wonderful Wizard of Oz.
Well, it's no secret to any American that we're living in very precarious times. Americans are being robbed blind, and they don't even know who's doing the robbing.
I mean, we clearly are, you know, in a bus, and we're heading for the edge of a cliff. And there still is probably time to change course. The only problem is that people driving the bus don't realize that there's a cliff there yet.
If the problem that's grinding the economy to a halt is too much debt, and if nobody in the government, in either party, is looking at solving the debt problem, then the answer is it's going to go into a depression as far as the eye can see.
And so we're going to have a massive, massive recession, or let's call it a depression, while the economy rebalances away from a service sector economy towards a good producing economy, away from a borrow and spend economy to a save and produce economy. That's what we need to do. We can't get from where we are to where we need to be without a severe depression.
What can government do? The sad answer is, under our current monetary system, nothing. It's not going to get any better until the root cause of the problem is understood and addressed. There isn't enough stimulus money in the entire world to get us out of this hole. Why? Debt. The national debt is just like our consumer debt. It's the interest that's killing us.
Or, as was just noted in the chat room on ZeroPointRadio.com, recovery can't happen until we start making shit in America. That's about as simple as we can put it. And that's been the growing and continuing message of MediaMonarchy.com, that once people realize we can take it back and make our own media and art and food, the monsters will die. Just don't look. That's going to do it, my friends. And again, secretofoz.com. Of course, we can't even get into all the other amazing areas around Oz and the allegories there. It's, of course, tailor-made for Media Monarchy. And I believe there are old interviews out there with Kentroversy talking about Wizard of Oz and Eyes Wide Shut, not to mention even all the other economic overlays of the Wizard of Oz. Which also reminds me that I also watched the CIA-produced Animal Farm film from 1954. And as we look at Google News one last time, right now on this August 20th, 2010, 6 in 10 Americans are against the war in Afghanistan as Obama sends more troops. Let's take a glance at some of the folks visiting MediaMonarchy.com in the past week. I keep track on StatCounter.com and see what folks are looking for. Halliburton out of Houston, Texas, Googled, guy kills 8 coworkers. The U.S. Department of Transportation out of D.C. Googled, DHS NEP 2010, reading about those terror drills we keep an eye on. And of course, the headquarters USAISC out of Huntsville, Alabama, Googled, Fort Hood operation orders. And finally, Alaska State Government out of Juneau, they were checking out the May 28th episode of NewWorldNextWeek.com. And you should, too. And if you enjoy MediaMonarchy.com, these broadcasts, the B-sides, the interviews, the mixtapes, please donate. Please help spread the word. Please play the show. Please add links. Do it all. We're sharing information. And, again, like my man Richard Grove says, we're getting stronger as it goes. So not only, my friends, should you not hate the media, but become the media, but you should also get active or get radioactive. Take care.
MediaMonarchy.com is your source for alternative news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups. Featuring weekly radio shows on the Portland Radio Authority, PRAradio.org, the New World Network video series with CorbettReport.com, plus special interview episodes, B-sides, mixtapes, and so much more. Send news tips to MediaMonarchy@gmail.com. You can make a donation or mail Media to the Monarchy at P.O. Box 12165, Portland, Oregon 97212. Thanks to all the internet and community radio stations who broadcast these shows, and most of all, thanks to you. Remember, don't hate the media, become the media.
Whether you went on with the diary, or whether you did not go on with it, made no difference. The thought police would get him just the same.